Well, it's good to be together, and we're going to continue a series in 1 Peter that we've been the past couple weeks. We're looking at some themes in 1 Peter, kind of under the big idea of being called. The church is the called out people of God. And so over the past couple weeks, we've learned that the church is called to be holy, and then last week in Jordan's message, called to serve. And today we're going to think about the calling to declare God's praises and to share our faith with those around us, to speak up for the Lord. A key verse for the series is 1 Peter 2:9, which says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." God calls us to share our faith and our hope as Christians. But speaking up for God in this world can be kind of challenging, can't it? I have to be honest, it can be challenging for me. I'm an introverted heart. That's my personality. Anytime I have to kind of step out of that, it can be challenging. If I'm honest with you, sometimes it's easier for me to be bold from this stage than it is to be bold when I'm maybe having a conversation with somebody in the community that doesn't come to church or I know doesn't know the Lord. And maybe you've had that same experience. Maybe there are times when you're not quite sure what to say, or you're not sure how to maybe bring up faith matters in a natural way that doesn't turn people off. And we don't want to offend our loved ones and our friends. At the same time, as Christ followers, we know that people need to hear the good news. Outside of Jesus, people are lost. Consequently, we must speak up for God. But how do we do it in a skeptical world? Well, 1 Peter really speaks to this, and we're going to look at a couple of evangelism strategies from 1 Peter. From my experience, these strategies are simple and effective, while at the same time, I think, taking away maybe some of the anxiety that we feel about speaking up for the Lord and sharing our faith. So here's the first strategy. We speak up for God through our lives. We declare God's praises through our actions and our attitudes, our good deeds. 1 Peter 2:12, it's a verse that Jordan referenced last week. 1 Peter 2:12. "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." As Christians, we are called to be different. We are called to live lives that are different, holy, honorable, loving, guided by integrity. And Peter teaches that non-believers will recognize, if we're living that kind of life, that there's something different about us. And some will want to know the source, the reason why that we're living a transformed life. And as a result, Peter explains that people will come to know God. Some will come to know God on the day of judgment when we meet him, the day that God visits us, Peter says. Maybe that'll be in death, or maybe that'll be at the second coming. Actions speak louder than words. And we think about sharing our faith, usually what we're thinking about, we get anxious about is the words that we're going to say. You know, we worry, you know, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? But keep in mind that speaking up for God also happens through our lives, our actions, our compassion, the grace that we show others, simple acts of kindness, and through living a godly life. Our words about the transforming message of Christ will mean little if we are not living a transformed life. In our unbelieving, distrustful world, more than ever before, living an authentic life, an authentic, holy life, is essential to effectively sharing our faith. In other words, people want to see Jesus in us. People recognize a life lived differently, a life lived for Jesus, a life of love and service, selflessness, and sacrifice. There's a famous saying attributed to the medieval monk Francis of Assisi. He said, "Preach the word, and if necessary, use words." Our life is our pulpit. And so the question is, what sermon is our life preaching today? The author Philip Yancey tells about meeting a remarkable woman named Joanna Flanders Thomas, who began a prison ministry in South Africa at one of that country's most violent prisons. And Joanna started visiting prisoners daily, bringing them a simple gospel message of forgiveness and reconciliation. And the year before her visits at the Polesmoor prison, they had recorded 279 acts of violence. The year after her visits, only two. And her success caught the attention of British television producers who sent a camera crew to London, from London to South Africa to film her experience and to make a documentary about it. And this is what he writes, the author Yancey writes. He says, "I've seen the BBC documentaries, but I just don't get it," Yancey says. "These guys are monsters. They're rapists and murderers. And from what I could see, you're simply holding Bible studies, playing trust games, and having prayer meetings. What really happened to transform Polesmoor Prison?" And Joanna looked up and said, almost without thinking, "Well, of course, Philip. God was already present in the prison. I just had to make him visible." And then Yancey concludes and he says, "Joanna's offhand comment became for me a mission statement of how to live as an adult follower of Jesus. We know God's qualities, justice, righteousness, compassion, mercy, grace, and love. For whatever reason, God has chosen to convey these qualities on earth through human beings like us. God was already present in the prison. I just had to make him visible." When we bring food to a grieving friend, when we take someone maybe to the doctor who can't get there themselves, when we clean up the yard of an elderly person, when we volunteer some of our time at the food pantry, when we deliver a buddy bag or a Christmas shoe box to someone, when we visit someone in the hospital or show kindness to the strangers that we interact with every day, we make God visible through our actions and we declare his praises. I remember several years ago at a former ministry, we were planning to do a community outreach, a service day, and we had kind of put it out to the church. If anyone knew of somebody in the community that had a need, we would like to help. And someone from the church talked with me about a former colleague, a person that had been a professor at a college. They had worked together. He had since retired. He was elderly and unable to keep up with his home, the yard and so forth. But she said, "Be careful, I just want to warn you, he's a pretty outspoken atheist." And so we were immediately intrigued about going over there and helping that man, which we did. And arranged to go and serve that day, and his yard was just all overgrown, trees were overgrown, vine all over his house, and the crew that was working there that day just cleaned it up wonderfully. And I'd love to tell you that man ended up coming to church. I don't believe he ever did. But I did get feedback from his friend, and she had made the comment that he said, you know, he began to see the church a little bit differently after that event. Jesus taught in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Our lives preach a powerful sermon. Let me mention a second strategy. There does come a time where we need to speak up for God with our words. And 1 Peter 3:15 is the key verse here, and I'll just read that to you. 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Not all of us have to be theologians. We don't have to be experts in everything about the Bible. However, Peter does challenge us to be ready to give an answer, to give an answer for the faith and the hope that we have when God opens the door. I think every committed Christian, you know, needs to be able to articulate just a basic gospel message. But when we share this message, I think it's helpful to hear what Peter says here. We don't have to be pushy about it. We don't have to be confrontational. Instead, we speak up for God with gentleness and respect. The Bible actually provides us with many evangelism models that we can utilize and apply to our lives that help us, I think, speak up for God in a natural way, in a fitting way. I'm going to mention just a couple of examples of these evangelism models. I'm just touching on them today. It might be the kind of thing you might want to go back and look at maybe this week. You know, one example would be from Acts chapter 8, and we could call it the journey together model. And in Acts chapter 8, you have an African official traveling in a chariot, and Philip the evangelist, perhaps one of the first deacons, this man that's traveling is studying the Bible, and he's struggling to understand it. And so Acts tells us that Philip comes alongside of this man, and he gets into the chariot with him, and they journey together, and they discuss the Bible together. And eventually, Philip points this man to Jesus. There's a lesson here that we can come alongside of people as a journey over time, and we could read and discuss Scripture with them, and we can allow God to do His thing. We can allow God to work through the Scripture. And eventually, the Scripture will point people to Jesus. Another example would be Acts 17, and we could call this the meet people where they are model. And this is the story where the Apostle Paul goes to the city of Athens, Greece, which was kind of like the intellectual center of the day. It'd be like Paul going onto a university campus today, maybe walking onto the campus at Harvard and engaging some of the thinkers there. And Paul goes there, and he realizes that he has something in common with these intellectuals. He has a belief in an unknown God in common. And so from that common belief, Paul engages them, and he talks with them, and he tries to share with them more about this God, and he introduces this God as a personal God who ultimately has made himself known in creation, but in Jesus. And I think the lesson here is, as we look at that model, is that we begin where people are. When we want to share faith, we start where people are. We start with their questions and their experiences and the faith that they have. And from that starting point, we journey with them and we point them to Jesus. One chapter over, we could look at the open up your home model. And it's the story of a man by the name of Apollos. The Bible says he was a great preacher and teacher, but he had a deficient faith. He only knew the baptism of John. But Apollos had some good friends, Priscilla and Aquila. And Priscilla and Aquila cared enough about Apollos that the Bible says they invited him into their home, and they shared with him the way of God more adequately. So a more complete faith. They disciple him. I think there's a lesson here. Guided by love, we share, yes, our faith, but we also share our life with people. Maybe we even open up our home and we study God's word together. And through that shared relationship, faith can grow. Probably my favorite biblical evangelism model is found in John chapter 4. And there's a lot we could say here. We may even come back to this in the fall as I'm thinking about the sermon plan. But maybe you remember this is the story of Jesus traveling through Samaria, and he comes to a well, and he meets a Samaritan woman who is there as well. And Jesus asks her for a drink, and then he engages her in conversation. And he builds trust, and he builds a relationship. And then from that natural relationship, questions about faith naturally occurred. I think there's a lesson there, that from a trusting relationship, My experience is you can't just force faith on people. There has to be trust involved, mutual concern for one another, a relationship. And then from that relationship, spiritual conversation can grow and arise. So the journey together model, the meet people where they are model, the open up your home model, the build a relationship of trust first model. These are some biblical examples that allow us to share our faith with gentleness and respect. But when we explain the gospel to someone, what do we say? Again, there's a lot we could talk about, a lot of details, a lot of different ways that we could present the gospel. And I want to share with you for just a minute a simple and memorable way that I found to kind of make a gospel presentation to those that are interested. It's very simple. I'm glad it's Family Sunday. It's something that kids can understand. If you have a napkin and a pen, you can do this. And you can have a lot of scriptures, or you can have just a few. So this will just take a couple minutes. I'm going to give you the kind of the abbreviated form. So what are we famous for in Park County? What are we famous for? Bridges, that's right. We're famous for covered bridges. We know bridges in Rockville. You know, Tracy and I love the covered bridges. We enjoy looking at them, reading about them. Did you know, this is something I learned just very recently, that something I read was one of the reasons they made covered bridges to kind of look like a barn was it was more inviting for horses to go into. They were more willing to walk across the bridge. Did you know that? You know what that means? It means I'm becoming a country boy. Can you imagine that? Most of you didn't know that. Man, you guys got to catch up here. So we could call this gospel presentation the bridge to peace. So imagine, we'll look at this next slide. Imagine there are two sides. You've got two parties, and between these two parties, you've got a great chasm, a great canyon. And on one side, you've got people. On the other side, you've got God. And the ravine represents the distance between, the separation between God and sinful humankind. And so on the one side, you have God, and God exists, and God is the creator, and God is our heavenly Father, our personal Father. He's holy and just and pure. He is light. Life is found on His side. God created human beings to share His life with, to invite us into His divine life, to walk with us. But to do that, He gave us free will. And many of us, we use that free will to rebel against God. And the Bible calls that sin. And sin injures, hurts that relationship between God and people. And a verse that I might put up there on the side of people is Isaiah 59:2, which says, there is a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, He has turned away. On the other side, we have sinful human beings. Our relationship with God is broken. We're separated from God. And many of us try to work our way back to God, but the Bible, Romans 5:6, says that we're powerless to do that. We're powerless to build our own bridge across the chasm. We try to do that with good works and efforts, good deeds, going to church, praying, fighting temptation, those sorts of things. But the Bible says that we fall short. We're not able to work our way back to God. A lot of verses we could quote there. Ephesians 2 says we're dead in our transgressions and danger of God's judgment. Romans 5:10 says we're God's enemies because of sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So our problem is sin, and our need is to be restored to God, and God's solution is the cross. Jesus is the bridge to God. The cross becomes our bridge. And there are many bridge-building passages, and I like to kind of write them in the middle there. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We're in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Or maybe John 3:16, I like to write that on the cross, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. So we're separated from God because of our sin, but the cross becomes the bridge in which we can be reconciled to God. And all that's left is to walk across the bridge. The Bible says that salvation is a gift, and as a gift, it has to be received. And the New Testament describes different actions that people, how they respond to this gift. And so I might talk about faith and confession, repentance, turning from the world and turning to God, and baptism, dying to an old life, rising to a new life. John 1:12, Matthew 16, Acts 2:38, we could write across the bridge. And the bridge to peace leads to eternal life with God. And so when I do this, I like to put a couple of verses on this side of the idea that we've crossed the bridge and we're enjoying life with God. Romans 5:1, therefore we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Or what Jesus says in John 5:24, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now, if you're interested, I'd be happy to email those slides to you, or maybe we'll put them up on the website later this week. The Bridge to Peace is just one way that we can go about sharing the gospel. It's a simple way. It's a memorable way. I'd encourage you to find whatever works for you and just to memorize it, to know it by heart. So when that door opens, you'll be ready to share. I have a good friend who is a professor at Johnson University, one of the colleges associated with our tradition. And a couple years ago, Dan had a chance to do some teaching in China. And he writes this about his experience at several Chinese universities. China does not allow Christian missionaries, so I spoke rather generically about leadership principles and included only occasional references to my faith, hoping to plant seeds and to raise questions. He says, after one such lecture, a group of six students remained in the auditorium wanting to talk further. And a young man asked, what kinds of things did Jesus teach? And I tried to offer him a brief summary of Jesus' teaching and mentioned that Jesus taught in stories. And someone says, he says that they asked to hear one of the stories. And so I told them the parable of the prodigal son, and they wept. We are very touched, one girl responded in broken English. We have never heard this story before. Is this what your God is like? And Dan concludes, he says, all over the world, people walk the streets and they sit in classrooms and they muddle through life and they've never heard of the prodigal son. They've never met the loving father. Jesus sent his church on a mission, his mission, to tell them. And all over the world and all over Park County, people are hungry to know the point of life, the God behind life, the God who runs from his home in Jesus and reaches out to us to bring us home. God has made himself visible and known in Jesus Christ. I can't imagine a more exciting message than that. That through a relationship with Jesus, we have forgiveness and salvation and the gift of everlasting life. That through Jesus, lost people are welcome home to the Father in heaven. This is why we must speak up through our lives and through our words. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. If we speak up for Jesus in this life, Jesus says he'll speak up for us in the life that is to come. Let's pray. Father, we worship you today on this special day. And we thank you, Father, for reaching out to us, for building that bridge that we could come to know you and enjoy life with you today and in the future. Father, I pray that you would just equip us and empower us as your called people to be your witnesses in the community. Father, help us to maybe work through whatever anxiety we may have, the fear we may have. And Father, I just pray that you would just open up doors for us to declare your praises when that moment arises, to give the reason for the hope that we have. Father, we pray for those that don't know you in our community. We pray, God, that you would give us just a burden, your burden for them. Help us to love them through our lives and through our words with your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll close with a hymn of invitation. And I wonder as we close today, where are you on that bridge visual? You know, maybe you're on the other side and you've come to know Christ and you're experiencing abundant life in Jesus. And the challenge for us is to not take that for granted and to tell somebody else about that. But maybe you're on the other side and you've never accepted that gift of grace, and maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you've come to a place of faith. So you need to respond to that by placing your trust in Christ and trusting him as the Savior of your life, the one that will take sin from your life, trusting him as the Lord of your life who will guide you, turning from the world and turning to him in repentance and starting fresh through the act of baptism. Maybe today that's the decision that you need to make. So we'll stand and we'll sing. If you have a decision to make before the church, We invite you to come.